The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Light and gives understanding to simple hearts. We come with simple hearts even this morning or this evening, and we receive the enlightenment that comes from your word, and we are ready to be changed by your word. Let these 2 days be our defining moment in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's be seated. Glory to God. A time of retreat is a time to, you see, gather around the Word of God. Around the Word of God. Around prayer. And like we just did, around singing. The whole idea is that we are coming to give maximum attention to God, to Jesus Christ, to the Word of God. Are you still here? And that's what counts. That's what counts. And so that's why retreats are not times to play with. I keep explaining to us that the word retreat is actually a military term, right? It's a military term. It means to, you know, retreat from battle. And that is not to run away. You know, there's a saying that he who fights and runs lives to fight another day. That's not what retreat means. It means you retreat to look at the battle again, look at your strategies, look at what is not working. So the purpose of retreating is so that you can go again. You do not retreat because you want to run away. So you retreat because you want to go back to the battle again. And that's what we are doing in these 2 days. We want to look at what we've been doing last year and what God is asking us to do this year. Amen. I said amen. Did you come with your voice? I said, amen. Amen. So we want to look at what we've been doing and the demand that God is placing on us, even in this new year. What is Doxa's theme for this year? Have you guys now found it? Doxa's theme for this coming year. Glory to God. I think I'm going to give out a gift right now. Like 10,000 naira right now. If you find it now. Hallelujah. Who has found it? Yes. Go. You have my money. Hallelujah. That's the theme for dogs this year. Your mind was telling you. It's a lie. I just had to say that because this is going to be a mission-driven year for this foundation. It's going to be a mission-driven year. However, well, whether we say that or not, Chambers Foundation is a mission-driven ministry. A going team. So it's going to be a mission-driven year. So I'll bring a simple teaching today and expound on it more tomorrow. Just a way to welcome us. I titled it The Missionary and the Missions. the missionary and the mission. Hallelujah. The missionary and the mission. Matthew chapter 10, we're going to reach Matthew chapter 10. There are three anchor chapters, Matthew 10, Luke 9, and Luke 10. In Matthew 10, the Bible said from verse 1, and when he had called, do you have your Bible? Open it. Open your Bible. Matthew chapter 10. Glory to God. Have you opened your Bible now? I'm waiting for you. Open your Bible. And if you don't have a Bible, I'm really wondering what brought you, what you came to do. Do you not have your Bible? So, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and disease, all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter. Hallelujah. And Andrew, his brother. James, the son of Zebedee. And John, his brother. Philip and Bartholomew. And Thomas and Matthew, the publican. James, the son of Alphaeus. And Lebaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus. Do you know that guy? Simon the Canaanite. And Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12, Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, and all the instructions followed, which we are going to look at in the course of this study. In Luke chapter 9, you find the same story repeated. Luke chapter 9, from verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey. The instructions continued. In Luke chapter 10, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before him, okay, before his face, into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore, said he unto them. Now, the missionary and the mission, very important thing we're about to study. We see two stories. Jesus sent the 12. Then Jesus sent the 70. And he sent them for mission. And why did he send these people? You will find the answer in what he said when he was sending the 70. But before I talk about that, it's important you see that, and that's why this is important. There is no one, and this is a very powerful point I'm going to make. There is nobody that Jesus ever sent for an assignment that he didn't give them instruction before he sent them. Every time he was about to send people, he will give a set of instructions. In Matthew 10, in fact, almost all of Matthew 10, he was giving them instructions how to go, when to go, where to go. We're going to look at all those instructions. And that's why I'm going to say this to you. There is safety in ministry if you can abide by the instructions you are giving before you are sent. There is nobody that Jesus will send without giving him some instruction, a set of instructions, without giving him some terms and conditions, without giving him some do's and don'ts. In Luke 9, he gave them instructions. In Luke 10, he gave them instructions. In Matthew 10, he gave them instructions. Every time he was about to send people, he must give them a chain of instructions. And that's why I will say to you, you must pay attention. You must pay. So just like this is a big digression now. But sometimes you are appointed. You are now handling this position in the ministry, or you are now to go cover that school. Always ask, what are the instructions? What am I expected to do? Because at the end of the journey, you will be judged based on those instructions. You will be assessed based on those instructions. So he sent them. And he gave them instructions. He gave them guidelines. He said things to them before he sent them. So he didn't just say, well, you just go. He gave them some do's and don'ts. He gave them boundaries. What to do and what not to do on the mission. Are you still here? Are we still here? So he sent them in Luke 9, sent them in Luke 10. And why did he send them? What was the purpose of this sending? If you read Luke chapter 10, he started by telling them, that's when he was sending the 70, which I'm going to look at very shortly. He started by telling them that the laborers are few. The harvest is plenteous. The laborers are few. And why did he tell that to the 70? Because in Luke chapter 9, he just sends the 12. And after sending the 12, he called the 70 also. So they might be wondering, I thought you just sent 12 guys 2 days ago. Why are you calling us to? The reason is because the laborers are few. And I'm saying this, that the reason why God keeps sending people into the field, the reason God keeps sending people is because the harvest is very plenty. And the field that God has sent us, which is the field of young people in secondary schools and all of that, the harvest there is actually plenty. But I can tell you the laborers are very few. Very few. To start with, there are not many people doing evangelism. But then, even among the many doing evangelism, there are not many evangelizing young people. Even among the few evangelizing young people, there are not many evangelizing secondary school students. I feel what I'm saying. And that's to show you that there is, and that secondary school student, they make up a major part of the population of Nigeria. But there are very few ministries committed to evangelizing them. For obvious reasons. Partly because it's a part of ministry that there is no money. Are you getting the point? Are you guys following me? You will stand up. You will stand up for like 2 hours now. I stand up totally. You don't respond, you stand. Say amen. And you better be alive. You will stand. This is your treat. It's not dogs. I'll stand you up. Say amen. So you can't just come. This is mostly executives and strong believers. I can't be talking and acting. I don't have to force myself to make you happy. Be happy. Be excited. Be responsive. Amen. So among the secondary school students, among the people, even reaching out secondary, reaching out to people, you don't have many reaching young people. You don't have many reaching secondary school because there is actually no money there. You can't possibly go to a secondary school and you say, I need 10 people that will give me 10 million. You're not going to get that. And that's the reason why there is, not the reason, but that's one major reason why there is no much laborers in that field. And this is where God is sending us to. So the need for the mission is because the Bible is very clear. The laborers are few. The harvest is truly great. There are many people, many young people. And I want to say to you, I believe strongly that in this decade, from 2025 forward, we are going to see many ministries committed to young people arise. And do not, and I say this by the Holy Ghost, do not be bothered. Don't complain. Say, for example, to secondary school students, that's what God actually wants to do. The reason is very simple. There are many people to be reached. The same Jesus that sent people in Luke 9, sent people in Luke 10. The same Jesus. Amazingly, he sent people in Luke 9 to a certain audience. He sent people in Luke 10 to the same audience. Are you getting the point? So there will be many sendings in this generation. Because God has many people that he wants to reach. And that's why I want to say to you, practically, ZF, I can say a few things. Practically, we this year we're going to do a lot of work in secondary school. Don't be bothered that you got there, and there's already SCM doing the work here. We are not fighting what they're doing, but we are also sent. Don't be bothered that you get in and there's SU here doing what they're doing. We are not fighting what they're doing, but we are also sent. He sent the 12 in Luke 9. He sent the 70 in Luke 10. And all their callings were valid. Are you getting the point? All their callings were valid. Now, there are people that have been
in the secondary school stuff long before us. There are fellowships like FCS. FCS is one major fellowship that the Lord used to shake up secondary schools in the north. From northern Nigeria down, if you get the FCS, they can have up to some fellowship that have up to 1,000 persons in schools. Great work they're doing. I will celebrate them. You talk about the scripture union around this area. There are very few schools that do not have a scripture union fellowship. And they're doing a great job. Are you following what I'm saying? You talk about SCM, the student Christian movement. They're in universities, they're also in secondary schools. Now, God has sent many people to the same field because he realizes that the 12 cannot cover the harvest. In fact, even when he was still sending the 70, he still said the laborers are few. So even as God is still sending us, he is still saying the laborers are few. Because there is so much work to be done. There is so much work to be done. And I'm saying this because there is need for everyone to put their hands to the plow in this new year. For the mission to young people. For the mission to secondary school students. By tomorrow, I'll be giving us some of the agenda, some of the things that God has put in our hearts that we're going to do in reaching secondary school students this year. For instance, some of you that are close, you'll have heard me say that a lot of times. There will now be fellowships in different secondary schools. You know, right? Chamos Foundation Fellowship, different secondary schools. We're going to do all of that because there is so much work to be done. It's a year to set up different structures for mentoring young people. That's what we're doing this year. And they will come as fellowships. They will exist in every secondary school. Hallelujah. In the first half of the year, we're going to have 10 of such in each of our territories. And you'll be the one sent to those places. And that's why I'm doing this teaching. Because God is sending us. And he's doing it because the laborers are few. The harvest is great. Do not be bothered that you enter there and there's already a fellowship. If there's already a fellowship, go meet their leader. Greet them. Congratulate them. Celebrate what they're doing. But do what you're doing. Because you're also sent to the place. Are you following what I'm saying? The harvest is truly great. The laborers are few. The laborers are few. In fact, I'm not saying this to talk down on people. Even among the few that are sent to secondary school students, not many take the gospel and the fire of God to them. Many take empowerment to them. I get what I'm saying. There are people that go to girls' schools, Christian bodies. What they're doing is not bad though. But they go to girls' schools and what they do, they just share sanitary pads to all of them. And teach them about menstrual health. And it's okay. Nothing is wrong with that. But the problem is that they will still count it as missions. That again shows that the laborers are few. Because there is no way padding up a girl can get her born again. There is no way padding up a girl can bring her to make her a minister. As good as that is. There are some that go to those places and they share free exercise books and people are happy. And that's a great thing, a good initiative. But again, that is not missions. So even the few that are sent to those places, they can go there with games. Sometimes they go there with advice. They go there with counsel. Don't follow boys. Don't follow girls. Again, the harvest is great. The laborers are few. Are you following what I'm saying? And that's why this year, I will announce it. I said it last year. But I'm going to announce it stronger this time. That if you are not ready to be on the go, you are not fit to be part of CF this year. Because everybody will be on the go. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, CF has come a long way. A long way. And I said this late last year. I don't want to say it. To some people, and I'm saying it with all confidence. To some people say, CF is no longer making the kind of waves it was making then. By my assessment, CF made more waves 2024 than it did in the past 6 years. Even when we were shutting down auditoriums. Do you know why? It got to a time, the mission part of the foundation left.
Are you know what I'm saying?
All we had was now people who come when maybe there's a national program. Dogza. All of them will just gather and come and fill up everywhere. Shouting. We have people that would serve as ushers at Dogza. And they've never visited any school throughout the year. Don't you know what I'm talking about? Some that will be in the media team at Dogza. But I've never gone to any school visitation since they were born. And people saw it as progress because we were filling up auditoriums. But the Lord said to me, that's not what I sent you people to go and do. That's why if you're not ready to be on the go, you can't be part of CF this year. Everybody has to be in the field because the harvest is great. The laborers are few. So what we need this year are laborers. Laborers in secondary schools. Laborers among young people, teenagers. So in the past, last year, at least last year, in all every territory, there was consistent school visitation. Schools were being visited. People have been impacted. We held meetings for entire secondary schools last year. You know, right? In different territories. With massive salvation, record healings, record Holy Ghost baptism. Aren't you excited about that? Now, that is what is called ministry. And I'm going to say to you, even in this year, you're not going to see much of CF on Facebook. I'm just telling you, it's deliberate. Because you're not about to excite anybody. The work is underground. The laborers are few. And we are going to be part of the laborers. So if you don't want to be part of the, if you don't want to be a going person, then don't join CF this year. As a matter of fact, our team this year is go. So either you are going to the field or you are going to your house. So you have to go somewhere this year. So either you go to the field or you go home. I think it sounds well now. Go to the field or go home. Glory to God. The laborers are few. So Jesus gathered them. So he sent the 12 in Luke 9. He sent the 70 in Luke 10. He kept sending. Now, you would have said, but you sent the 12. Can't they do the job? He sent the 70. If there were another 300, he would still send them. God is in the business of sending. So when you see young ministries sprouting up, it's because God is doing something. And we are privileged to be part of it. Are you following me? So God is sending us to secondary schools. Secondary schools. You will not be recognized as a Champions Foundation member this year if you are not active in visiting schools and preaching in schools. You are not our member. And I'm telling you plainly. We've had years in this place where there are people who are in the choir, active in the choir, but not in school visitation. Don't sing for us. This is not a sing. This is not a church. You are aware, right? It's not a church. It's not a singing. So we actually don't need choir as much as we need goers. Is what following me this evening? We don't need ushers as much as we need goers. So if there is a territory, of course, everything is going to work. But if there's a territory that does not have media team, but they have people who are going, that are doing well. Are you following me, friends? Because the laborers are few. The harvest is great. Shout amen, somebody. So you look at that. So he sent them because there was so much work to be done. And he sent them with instructions. And we're going to see some of them today. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 7, or verse 6, 6 and 7, he said, go rather to the lordship of the house of Israel, and as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So one of the first things that God gives to you when he wants to send you is that he gives you a message to preach. Your mission is as valid as your message. So I'm going to start with that today. One of the first things God will do, so when he wanted to send them, he told them, look at what to preach. You know, I told you, every time God is sending you, he will always give you instructions. So he gave them what to preach. And what did he tell them to preach?
preach the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. But please listen. Now that God is sending you, God is not sending you to go and preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, let me explain that very clearly. When he was sending them, he told them to go and declare that God's kingdom was at hand. Now, that kingdom that is at hand was not referring to heaven, as it were. The kingdom of heaven in this context is referring to Jesus himself. You know, he was talking to them the other time, and he told them in the Bible, he said, the kingdom of God is within you. And what was he referring to? He was referring to himself. In other words, telling them that my presence with you is God's kingdom with you. Are you following me? Give me 1 Corinthians 4, verse 20. Give me on the screen. 1 Corinthians 4. Is it first or second? Let's check 4. Let's check first if it's not. First, yes. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. So the kingdom of God is not just talking about a certain place that has building, that has houses. So when he was telling them to preach that the kingdom of God was at hand, he was telling them to say that the kingdom of God was coming. What was the coming of that kingdom? The fact that Jesus will die and he will rise again. So when he rose again, his resurrection has already built the kingdom of God on earth. So currently we can say to believers that we are living in the kingdom of God now. Is that very clear? So are you in the kingdom of God now? Yes. So can we say the kingdom of God is at hand? No. The kingdom of God is at hand was a valid message when he was sending them, because at that time he has not yet died and risen. But now what we preach is that the kingdom of God has come. So our going, hear this, their going was to go and announce a coming kingdom. Our going is to go and announce a kingdom that has come and to invite people to come into that kingdom. So what we are preaching is still the kingdom, but we are not preaching a coming kingdom. We are preaching a kingdom that now exists, even now. Shout amen, somebody. And so as you go about, what are you preaching to people? That the kingdom of God has come. What does that mean? That Jesus has died on the cross for their sins. That he has risen for their justification. And when they accept him, they will be accepted into his kingdom. That's what we preach. Because every messenger must understand his message. If you don't know what you are sent to preach, you will not even know when you are failing. So the first thing he did for them, one of the first things he did for them, was to tell them exactly what to preach. And that's what I want to say to you. In Champions Foundation, where you get to places to preach, we are not sending you to say just anything that comes to your mind. No. We have a message in God's word, and we also have a message that God has given us as a foundation. Now, the message in God's word, of course, is the general message of reconciliation. Go and preach that Jesus has died for people's sins. You are preaching salvation to them. That's one. But then, as a foundation, God has given us a mandate. What is that mandate? To raise an army. So the message you carry to secondary schools is simple. First, Jesus has died for you on the cross, so we are inviting you to come and become born again. When you become born again, Jesus is calling you to become an army, a force, a soldier upon the earth. That's what you carry to places. So as you go forth, you must know what your message is. Your message is to invite people unto salvation and to stir passion in their hearts to carry Jesus on their head. That's our message. Are you following me? I'm teaching on the missionary and the mission. You are the missionary. The mission is to secondary school students. The message is to bring salvation to them and to stir the passion of God in their hearts. And so from Enugu to Nsukka to Obolo, from St. Cyprian's to Queen's College, whichever secondary school it is, the same message. The salvation found in Christ Jesus and igniting the passion for God, igniting love for God and his work in their hearts. Many of you that are here today, you are here today because someone from this foundation came to your school when you were in secondary school. And that is the same thing they brought to you when they came.
that you can serve God. That as young as you are, that God can use you. Is that not true? That as young as you are, that God can use you. They are not too small to carry the fire of God. That's the message you take in secondary schools. They are not too small to burn for God. They are not too small to put hands on the sick and they be healed. They are not too small to raise the dead. That's the message you carry to them. That they can be born again and they can burn for God. Are you following me? So Jesus never sent them without a message. And God is not sending us without a message. The message is to announce salvation in Christ Jesus. And to raise as many young people as possible that will carry the fire of God in their generation. To raise an army. Are you ready? Because that's the mission. That's the assignment. And it will never change until Jesus comes. As long as Jesus tarries and this foundation exists, this will be what we live for. We will not go to schools to do moral instruction. We can preach in their morals. That's why you have to know, if you go to all those moral instructions and you just go there and start giving advice, listen, be serious, that's not what I sent you to do. Now, if they invite us to talk on those things, we can. But somewhere in between your message, you must chip in the fact that people can work for God. But that's what God wants to do. When God gave us the vision of this foundation, what he told me was to raise at least 40% of secondary school students in every school and turn them into ministers. That's the vision. You've heard it before, right? At least 40%. And so, I didn't say to make them born again. He said to turn them into ministers. So the assignment is heavy. And God is sending you. I want to challenge you. Carry this message. Own this message. If we preach, and let me say this to you, if you preach this simple message unto them, we are going to find the hearts of men burning. The reason is simple. I did a message some years ago. I titled Mission 1025. Who remembers that teaching? Anybody? Mission 1025. Now, what I was trying to show in that message is this. There's an age that it is easier to get people to make commitments to Jesus. There's an age where it is easier to get people to become passionate for Jesus. You see, the age between 10 years, actually, and 14 years, it is easier. From 14 to 17, it's also easy. From 18 to 25, it's easier. From 26, at that time, people have decided what they want to do with their life. It will take something strong to get them to change their mind. And in the idea of Mission 1025 was that we're going to cut across the age of 10 and age of 25. That's age grade. So I was explaining how to do that in that message. If you still have the tape, you can look for it. How to get across Mission 1025. Because actually, you are going to secondary school where you're going to minister to people between the ages of 10 and 17. In fact, I heard that in secondary school now, SS3, some people are 15 years. What does that tell you? It tells that at that point, they have not yet, that age is called the age of passion. That age of passion is an age where anything they become passionate for, they carry it on their head like they don't have sense. If a girl gets a boyfriend, and there's a stupid girl, finds a boyfriend that she claims to love, she can be jumping fence to go and see the boyfriend. She can steal her mother's money. She can use her school fees. It's the age of passion. I get what I'm saying? Anything that catches them that time, forget it. And that's why you notice cult groups now are having things they call, the Vikings Confraternity now has JVC. What is JVC? JVC is Junior Vikings Confraternity, where they send them their mercenaries into junior secondary schools to get those people. Because that age
It's age of passion.
Once you get them to believe in anything, and that's what I put to many of you found Jesus at that age grade. That's why some of your parents will fight. You cannot go to church. You say, no, I must go. Sometimes some of you will jump in. Some of you will steal money. True or true? Is that age of passion? Thanks be to God that it was Jesus that caught you that time. Because if it was boyfriend that caught you that time, that same passion used to pursue Jesus, you'd be jumping first to go and see boyfriend. That's why, notice what internet fraud, Yahoo is doing to our generation. It is that age. Most Yahoo boys now, 16, 17. Most of them. I'm not joking. One came to complain to me in the office, a sister, how that the brother who was in SS2 ran away from hostel that was going to HK to go and hustle. Wants to drive Benz. SS2. And I know the issue. It is that age of passion. Someone sold the idea to him. He bought it. And at that age, once they buy, they can pursue it all their life. But the good thing about that age is it is also easy to convince them once you have a valid reason. I know what I'm saying. That's why if I come to your secondary school, all I need to do is to stand on the podium and show you why you need to carry this on your head. All the students will fall out. We've got secondary schools where we raised prayer team over 200 people in one meeting. You know, now at that, some of them don't even know what they're coming out to do. It's just that it's that age of passion. I know what I'm talking about. They're just happy. They say, I want to be part of prayer team. All of them will come out. All of them. Some people at that age, we had some of you here attempted to fast for 7 days dry. At that age. That's why if you are young here, it is better you catch passion for Jesus very early. You will dare many things you cannot dare when you get to 30. I feel what I'm saying. If I ask you to fast for 7 days now, I have to preach it, explain to you, and you now do it out of discipline. But get to secondary school, find people in their 14, 15, tell them the power of fasting, they will fix 15 days fasting. They are not aware that they will die in the process, but they fixed it. Are you following me? That's age of passion. And so all you need to do is to carry a valid message. You can sweep an entire school. That's what people don't actually know. That's what I always say to you. Give me a secondary school. I just need audience. I need 10 minutes with them. What is it that they believe? Anything they believe. With the anointing, the utterance I carry, if I talk for 10 minutes, they will change their mind and believe that thing I'm saying. That's why it's only in secondary school, not only, sir. But most times, if you do work well in secondary school, you can finish preaching. And you'll find a line of over 300 people that want to see you. And I am not exaggerating. Over 300 people lining up that they want to see you. All of them have their issues. And they're serious. They want to change. This one wants to stop masturbating. This one wants to stop exam practice. This one wants to... I get what I'm talking about. At that age. Because once you give them a reason, they are receptive. And that's why this is the time to strike. That's why God is sending us. So I want to say it again. If you are not ready to be on the go this year, this is not your ministry. You can't be part of us. If you just want to be coming to usher for us, get out. Go home. I can tell you, we can do this ministry without usher. Very comfortable. It's a going year. And it's a going ministry. And so, he told them what to preach. When you go, that's Matthew 10 verse 7, he told them to preach that the kingdom of God is at hand. And I'm telling you as you go, preach to men that the kingdom of God has come. And invite them to become part of that kingdom. And invite them to become emissaries of that kingdom. Men who will carry the assignment and the love of Jesus on their head. Shout a big amen. Are you still here? The same thing happened in Luke chapter 9 verse 2. When he sent the 70, Bible said, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God. He never sent anything without a message. When he sent the 12 again, to preach the kingdom of God.
So he tells you what to preach when he's sending you. And so I said, and I'm saying it again, that the minister or your mission is as valid as your message. If you lose your message, you've lost your mission. If you lose your message, you've lost the assignment. Are you following me? Are you still here? If you lose the mission, you've lost the assignment. So, the mission is your message. Another thing I'd like you to note, if you begin to study how Jesus sent people, is that in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 6, and I've been saying this, but I just want to show you in the Bible, he told them where to go. In verse 6, he said, go rather. But verse 5, he said, these 12 sent forth, Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles. Because I like you to understand, Jesus died for the whole world. Jesus is interested in the whole world. But Jesus cannot send one person to the whole world. Jesus cannot send a ministry to the whole world. That's one delusion. He said, we are sent to everywhere. Not exactly. Not exactly. Even if you are sent to everywhere, you are not sent to everyone. So he first told them where not to go. For instance, as a foundation, I am saying to you, and God is saying to us, don't go to older people. Don't go to 70-year-old people. Don't we like them? We like them. But that is not what God is sending us to go and do. And I'm not saying it because I just want to choose. Jesus exemplified it here. Go not into the way of the Gentiles. Go not into the city of Samaritans. Don't go there. In other words, if you are part of the 12 that Jesus sent, as you are moving and you see a Gentile, you turn your face, you don't preach to them. Because at that point, they were not sent to them. And so what I'm talking about, one of these that shows that Jesus has sent you on a mission is that he sends you to a particular place, to a particular people, to a particular audience. So don't go to the Gentiles, he told them. Don't go to the Samaritans. In verse 6, he told them, go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So he told them the people to go and preach to at this time. And as I'm telling you, don't say, can't we preach to everybody on the streets? Champions Foundation has an assignment this year to go to secondary school students particularly. So wherever you find them, pursue them. That's what I'm talking about. That's our assignment this year. Now, don't I like people that are in the university? I do. But you see teenagers. Of course, some university people too, are teenagers too. Many of them. But if you find majority of them in secondary schools, go to them. Because you know the truth of the matter is, everywhere Jesus sends you to, you are empowered to go there because he has sent you there. But if you try to go where he didn't send you, you are going to struggle. And that's why I say this under God. If you are a true son of this foundation, you would have found out that it is very easy for you to minister to secondary school students. If you pay attention. That thing is not special with you. It is a grace because of where you are connected to. Because God has sent us to that place, we are empowered for the place. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm telling you. And, you know, I always tell stories of where I can come to preach in a secondary school, maybe over 1,000 persons, and I'm preaching, everybody's making, others are preaching, everybody's making noise. Once I open my mouth to preach, they will listen. Do you know, there was a particular case, you know, that was, I think it was Shalom. It was Shalom. They had a 1 week long program. We are not even invited at all I wasn't a guest. I wasn't invited for the meeting. The program was to run from throughout the week. And they invited people. When I mean they invited people, I mean they invited people that I even respect in ministry. Because the school authority got involved and got general overseers of ministry. And they kept doing their stuff. But you know the problem? The students kept coming every day, hoping that we will come that day. Every day. And eventually, by Sunday night, was the last of the program, we are not coming. So they did not come. Hall was empty. I was at home 8 p.m. I got a call from the school. Sir, please, can people come and preach to this night? I said, why? I said, nobody's coming for the program. Real life story. So I called my two friends that day because I had a release in my heart. In fact, before they called me, I knew they were having a meeting. So my heart was ready with them. I really wanted to be with them. So when I got that call, I called my friend and said, let's go. We got into that school around after 9 to 10. Hall was empty. Immediately we stepped into the door. That was my most embarrassing moment. Then I stepped, everybody shouted, yeah! So I almost collapsed. Then I just found a way to go and sit down. After 3 minutes, I told my friends, I'm getting out of this hall. I was very embarrassed. People were running. They went to the hostel and told the hostel, they have come, oh! People started running back into the hall. And I'm saying this is not because I was more anointed than those people. I'm just sent to them. I have the ears of young people. I am telling you. It's an assignment. And if you are connected to us, you would have noticed that same grace in your life. And don't think you are special. It's just where you are. I get the point. That's why I say it with confidence. Show me in secondary school where they say no, they hear what. If I stand, they will hear what. As a woman that, you know, one of the women that, when we had 50th anniversary, she came. One of those women that came. Why did she come? She was a teacher in secondary school. A secondary school at Obokpa, community secondary school. I had to mention the place so that you will know it's in a village. All these community secondary schools, say people know they hear what. School that doesn't have fence. They come to school whenever they like. And one day, she heard that this guy is doing all this. So she told me to come. I remember that morning, I went to her house that morning and she was driving her kids to school. So I joined them in the vehicle. So when they dropped their kids, she lost her kids at school, we can go together. So when we were going, she was just telling me many stories about the school. That when you get there, whatever that happens, don't feel bad. We'll be with Cain. They will not make noise. I was just very calm. So before they invited me up to the stage, she started announcing, please, everybody, guess. They were walking up and down. I didn't tell her anything because I know that they just need to hear my voice. I'm sent to them. Like, I'm so aware of this that I'm telling you. And I'm referring to those days because I've not even got an admission then. I'm talking about as far back as 2010. 2011. I'm following. So imagine how small I was looking then. Very small. I just finished secondary school. Okay, I didn't just finish. Just I didn't get admission early. Because I finished 2008. So I just got there. I just started talking. That very dramatic thing. It was moral instruction. There was, you know how it is, Catholic, Protestants. Not only the people that returned to their class, not only did they come back. People are leaving the Catholic moral instruction to join what I was saying. Without microphone. And I'm saying to say that the same grace is upon your life. Because you are sent to them. Carry that consciousness. So when Jesus told them, I'm sending to the house of Israel, there was a grace that came with that sending. Such that if at that moment they had gone to minister to the Samaritans, they would not have seen miracles. If they had gone to the Gentiles, nothing would have happened. Not because they are not anointed, because they were not sent to them. Same thing, I'm sent. Do you have to say, I am sent? Don't worry, sit down. But stay coming. Are you following this? Are you learning something? So every time there is a mission, God will give you an audience. And it's good you recognize the audience. Because if you go to your audience, it is easy. Paul will put it this way. Paul will say that the same God that sent Peter to the Jews has sent me to the Gentiles. So Paul had a grace with the Gentiles. Look at how many Gentile nations a single man conquered. Rome, Corinth, Ephesus, Galatia, one man, Philippi, all those people he wrote letters, he conquered them. He would go there, put bishops in charge, set, and just, it was very easy. Look at the stress it took Peter to even accept to go to the house of Cornelius. Are you following me? And it looked like their heart was open. When you go to the certain city, the Bible said the Lord opened the heart of Lydia unto them. Paul's mission was interesting. He got into that land not knowing anybody.
So he came to the water side where people are washing and all of that. He just stepped into the place and Lydia saw them and God opened her heart unto them. Just like that. The power of a sent man. Oh, I have a message like that, right? Sent. Look for that message. I preached it last year. The power of a sent man. If you are sent to a certain audience, you do not struggle. That's why be aware. I'm saying so that you can be aware. Because one of the ways that anointing works upon your life is that you must be aware that it is there. Every Chapel Foundation member, there is a grace upon you. Towards young people, secondary school students, try it. Stand before them and start talking. They will respond. They will. It's not hard. And that's one of things the body of Christ needs to recognize again, is that there are graces. There are graces. And if you notice someone has a grace, let him do it. That's why they do all these graduation ceremonies in secondary schools. And they invite people to come and preach. Sometimes the students will tell you that presentation was the most boring thing in that graduation. So they're waiting for it to finish. It can't happen when I come to preach to you. It can never happen. Young people, when I was in the university orientation, first year orientation, the then departmental president felt like, well, let's give God a chance in this department. And amongst all the comedians and all the lectures they had that day, he said, I was going to preach. He said, I was going to preach for 20 minutes. So I came up and I told people, I have 20 minutes to preach. They shouted, no, the students. Glory to God. Because it's been a boring day all along. So then I come and say, I have 20 minutes. No. I said, it's fine. I will go down soon. I started talking. I so captured their attention. Then there was, because I began to hit, I was talking about cultism. And there was a lecturer that was on that stage who was a renowned cultist. And I was preaching without fear. So he wrote to the departmental president, said, stop this message now. So the departmental president gave me a sign. I said, well, I have like 10 minutes to round up. So then said, no, continue. So he wrote to them again, let him tell him to stop now, like now. I said, before they push me down from the stage. So I said, well, praise God. If you want to see me, I'm outside. I left. Over 30 followed me outside. His grace. Say amen. So I stood out, I was counseling them. Say that they're bothering me to join court. Don't join. They said, don't join. Glory to God. That same thing is working upon your life. Because you are sent to that age grade. You are sent. You know, if you read, you know, you look at a man like what's the name of this guy that is doing a great work in Ukraine, Sunder Deleger. The guy is in Ukraine, he's a Nigerian, a Yoruba guy. And he pastors a church that has 100% Ukrainians. Now, he doesn't even speak their language. The guy in Ukraine, I don't know whether he's still there now, he controls the politics of the land. Determines the president of the country. A foreigner. He was sent. Eventually, he had to learn their language. He speaks their dialect perfectly. Sometimes when they are preaching, when he's preaching and interpreting, he's correcting the interpreter. The power of a sent man. Are you following me, friends? When you are sent, grace goes with the sent man. There is grace in your place. So the missionary must recognize his audience. That's what I'm trying to say, actually. I know that with where you are posted to. So look at it now. After this meeting tomorrow, we will now say, Sister this, you will handle so school. Brother this, immediately we are doing those things. There is a special grace that comes on you for that school. Many of you have not started seeing this because you're not conscious of what I'm saying. I'm trying to make you conscious of it. So when you get there, you are going there as someone that God has sent to the place. So I'm saying this to say, Jesus sent them. He gave them an audience. He gave them an audience. So he told them, don't go everywhere. Don't go everywhere. And this was found in everybody he ever sent. Don't go everywhere. In fact, in Luke chapter 10,
Bible said, verse 1 and verse 2, he sent them to cities that he would visit. That stuck to me. He sent them to cities that he would visit. In other words, he didn't send them to just everywhere. So there were some he sent to Enugu. There were some he sent to Obiago. Are you following me? There were some, so he picked specific cities, Luke chapter 10. I don't know how you got to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 10. And verse 1 and 2. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. So he sent them to specific cities. Amen. And you know, before I just press on, I want to at least press in my spirit to say, trust the sending of the Lord. Just say that in the Holy Ghost just right now. Hallelujah. I say glory to God. I say glory to God. Trust the sending of God. If God sends you, thank you, Holy Ghost. If God sends you, it's because you can do it. If he sends you, it's because he trusts you. So if tomorrow in this meeting, after the meeting, your territory coordinator says, this school, I want you to go and set up a fellowship there. Never doubt. Let me show you scripture. Mark chapter 5. This is not in my notes, but it just came to me very strongly now. Mark chapter 5. Are you there? Are you there? Mark chapter 5. It's a long read. I just want to read it. Verse 1. Let's just go from verse 1. Mark 5 from verse 1. It's a story. But I want to, it's actually one verse I'm going to. I want you to appreciate it. And they came over onto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not to chain. So the man was heavily possessed. That when you put chain on him, look at verse 4, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. I get the point. Neither could any man tame him. So the guy was so demon possessed. He was a madman. But it wasn't just madness from Igbo. It was demon possession. You put chain on him, he tears it into pieces. Chain. No man could chain him. And guess where he was living? In the tombs. That he was living in a graveyard. So the man was controlling that environment. You dare not pass. You know, do you have such madmen in your community that if they stand there, you cannot pass where they are? Because they will stone you. You know, growing up, we had some of those madmen. Very violent madmen. This was a man like that. And always, look at, to further show the demon possession, and always, night and day, he was in the mountains, in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Look at that case. So one, he was mad. He lived around the tombs. And every time he would be crying, using stones to cut himself into pieces. Amen. So I want you to imagine how this guy will be looking. He'll be looking with different marks and scars all over his body, bleeding. The devil is a wicked devil. It's a wicked devil. And they were tormenting this man. Well, in verse 6, when he saw Joseph out of here, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice. Oh, glory to God. I say glory to God. You know why this was possible? Jesus was sent to that place. It was only because of that man. We're going to see the story now. It was only because of that man that he came there. You know, there are some things that you see in the Bible. You know, I'm coming to the scripture. There are some things you see in the Bible, and you see the ease with which people did ministry. Sometimes because they were sent. Jesus saw a woman in John chapter 4 by the well and had a conversation with her. And the entire city gathered. Do you know why? That woman was sent. Do you know that woman? Jesus was, oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. Jesus was sent, rather. Jesus, Bible said in John chapter 4, he needed to go through Samaria. Give me that verse. Give me that verse. John chapter 4. I'm coming back to this. So, put one finger there. Do you have a finger? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What we are doing, we have put five fingers. John chapter 4. Amen. I said, amen. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee. I'm in verse 3. And he must needs go through Samaria. That's the verse I'm looking for. Do you know why they added this verse? Because it was unnecessary, humanly speaking, for him to go through Samaria. Let me explain the geography for you. It's just like you are here and you need to get to, if you know this Enugu very well, you need to get to Holy Ghost. All of us know Holy Ghost Park. The normal thing to do is just to enter bus and just go to Holy Ghost or drive to Holy Ghost. But then you go back, you go to Gariki, take express, go through that Enugu particular expressway, get to Mega, come out to Naira Triangle, go through Abakwajo. I get what I'm saying. It's so unnecessary because the road going to where he was going to was a smooth road. But Bible says he needed to go through Samaria. Why? Because of that woman. I get the point. You can imagine if God has sent him specifically to that woman. So when he met that woman, it was easy to minister to that woman because he was sent to her. Are you following me? Are you following me? Any other person would have struggled to minister to that woman, but not Jesus. Why? He was sent to that woman particularly. And so when we send you to a school, even if others have struggled there, you shouldn't struggle there. Are you following me, friends? Even if others have struggled. Some of you, by the end of tomorrow, you are going to receive special grace for different schools. So when you get into those places, they say that this court is one of the hear word. Just tell them, I want to see the boy. That's all. And I've done it a lot too. There is this girl, all these hot girls in school. I say, I want to see her. Stand before me. Let me see how you are hot. Are you following me? Because I'm sent. He needed to go through Samaria and met that man. Well, go back to Mark chapter 5. We are reading a story. Are you learning something? What led me to Mark 5 is that I said that you must trust the sending of the Lord. Are you here? Glory to God. Glory. Hallelujah. So, Mark 5. Are we there now? So, he saw Jesus afar off and fell down. He ran and worshipped him. Why? There was something he was carrying. He was sent. So that as you get into that school, we are sending you to. Because God has given you that audience. The thing is this. Even spirits know that you are coming. So they will respond to you. Well, that's not where I'm going to. Verse 8. Verse 7 rather. And cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. I asked him, what is thy name? What did he answer? Talk back to me. My name is? Why? Historically, a legion is about 8 to 12,000. There's something like that. That's why if you read the Bible, there was a place the Bible, Jesus said, I can ask my father and he will give me 12 legions of angels. Amplified will say about 80,000 angels. So imagine, so there were at least 5,000 demons in this guy's head. Say amen. At least, so you can imagine there were different spirits. There was the spirit that was responsible for him being mad. There was another one controlling him, cutting himself into pieces. There was another one that kept him in the tomb. Another one that made him about at least 5 to 8 to 12,000 in one person's head. Now, I'm going to start with this story. And he besought him much that he will not send them away out of the country, because demons are, they want to operate within their region. It's a story for another day. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. A lot of devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And Jesus gave them leave, and unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. And there were about 2,000, and they were choked in the sea. 2,000 pigs. They are just small, because there were a legion demons that jumped into them. Now, hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Now, let me ask you a question, because I'm going to somewhere with this. If you had witnessed this guy's deliverance, what is the first thing you would say to him after the deliverance? Will you send him on missions? Huh? What's the first thing? He should go and rest. He has been through a lot. But I'm saying you should trust the sending of the Lord. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. Now see verse 15. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. Like, they've never seen that kind of thing. The guy was just sitting down very properly. Now, verse 16. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him. The man said, "I want to follow you." And this made all the sense, because if legions left your head, follow Jesus. But that's why I say, trust the sending of the Lord. Now see verse 19. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, "Go home to thy friend and tell them how great things the Lord had done thee, and had compassion of thee." And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis. So Jesus sent this man to Decapolis. You don't know what this means. Decapolis means 10 cities. So a man, a legion just left him. And at that moment, Jesus said, "Go to 10 different cities and tell them what happened to you." You must learn to trust the sending of the Lord. You don't have to feel that you are okay. Trust the sending. Give me like Amplified Classic of this. The man went to Decapolis. It's not the name of a city. Read with everybody. Come on. Add your voice. Let's go. And began to publicly proclaim in Decapolis. That is the region of the 10 cities. So the man was preaching in 10 different cities. A man that a legion just left his head. Trust the sending of the Lord. Never see a school and they say you are going to preach here. You say, sir, that school is hard. They don't allow anybody to come in there. When you are sent, you are empowered. So that's why every time Jesus sends, he will give you an audience. He will give you a message and give you an audience. The grace is with the audience. Every time you appear before them, you are appearing on a certain level of grace. Let me say this. Some of you have observed that some things you do, some ways you operate when you go to, now I'm saying this for some of you have observed this, when you go to preach in certain CF sendings, you don't operate like that when you go to other places to talk. Yeah, there's a reason. I get the point. You are sent to those people. Trust God's sending. It's something that I've learned to do. Trust the sending of the Lord. Even as a pastor, I'm learning it every day. Because sometimes He sends people you least expect. Because sometimes we might be talking now and say, we're about to send some of you to go and plant fellowships. Because we're going to do that from this meeting. And then we'll see, maybe there's a big school in your community, and in your mind, you know who they will send there. It's all these Jinjin people. And guess who they mention? You. And when they call your name, you turn back to be sure there's another person bearing that name, because you are so sure it's not you. But alas, it is you. Trust the sending of the Lord. And God is saying, when you go there, get them saved. Get them filled with the Holy Ghost. Stir passion there. Let them carry Jesus on their head. Trust the sending of the Lord. The missionary and the mission. The mission is to secondary school. The mission has a message. The message is salvation in Christ Jesus and raising people as an army unto Him. The sent man is you. And the grace has been ministered. Are you still here? So He sends them to Decapolis. He sends that man to Decapolis. This was very strange to me the first time I read it. Because with my theological mindset, the first thing when that guy is delivered is to follow Jesus. Don't you guys think so? At least to be trained. But at that point, Jesus said, go and tell people first. Of course, I know He later joined Jesus' disciples and was later trained and all of that. But at that moment, so Jesus trusted him enough to send him to Decapolis. A man that devil just left his head. Not one, not two, not 1,000, not 3,000. Over 5,000 to 12,000 devils jumped out of his head. Decapolis. Personally, I would have been scared. We didn't even know what to say. But observe also, go to verse 19. He sent him with a message. Verse 19, what was the message? Look at verse 19. What was the message? He said, Jesus refused to permit him, but said to him, go home to your own family and relatives, bring back word to them of how much God has done for you. So he told him, go and begin to tell them what happened to you. He gave him his own message. So everybody God sends, He gives a message. That's what I'm trying to say. He doesn't tell you to go there and say anything that comes to your mind. So if you go, that's again why people don't enjoy grace in missions. If you go for these CF outreaches and you begin to preach anything you like, that grace that covers us will not work for you. That's actually the truth. Because the grace is in the message. Are you following me, friends? So imagine this guy. Give me King James, not Amplified. Imagine this guy got to those places and he began to tell them, you know, the kingdom of God is at hand. No, they will not listen to him. Because that's not what he was sent to go and tell them. At least in this particular sending. Are you following me? What was he sent to tell them in this particular sending? Tell them how I was possessed and now I'm fine. That's all God wanted him to say in this particular outreach. So you must know your message. Are you following what I'm talking about? You must know what the message is. But that's why many people don't enjoy grace. And that's why I can tell you this. Without a note, I can take any secondary school. I know what I'm saying to say. Without a note. Without a note. But I just come down and I tell them, I'd like you guys to know that Jesus loves you. And He wants to use you. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter your struggles. He can raise you up and He will use you mightily for His own glory. Once I get into this move, don't worry. Even the toughest of persons will listen. It's not about rehearsing what I'm saying. If I say it, they will hear. I know my message. I know my audience. And I'm saying that same thing is working in your life. So if you are still in secondary school, go and try what I'm saying. Stand before your assembly ground and preach. Preach this thing. Tell them what I'm saying. That Jesus loves you and God is looking for men that will rise as an army unto Him. They will respond to you. The grace is upon your life. And you are in the audience. You are carrying the message. Are you following me, friends? So he gave them a message. He gave them an audience. He told them what to say. He told them where not to go. He told them where to go. Amen. Maybe I'll say one more thing and we close for tonight. Have you been blessed? In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 9. And I want to say this to see if I can encourage someone. And I'll say more about that tomorrow. He told them, when you are going, do not carry gold or silver nor brass in your purses. Now, there is something I'm going to say. But before I say that, Jesus told them to go without money. One of the first lessons here, there is the message of provision here, but I'm not coming to that yet. One of the first things to see here is that he was teaching them how to walk and do missions and ministry under any condition. And that's one of the trainings I want you to have before we leave this place. Because the man on the mission might face challenges. One of the things he might face may be lack. So he prepped them up. Don't go with money. Don't go with gold. Don't go with purse. Just go. So, of course, later they had provision. But at least when the provision began to come, they had to learn to do the work when there was nothing. I know what I'm talking about. And I'm saying this to say to you, do not let lack or any challenge be a hindrance to the mission. Because if he had told them, stash your bag with money, someone would have stayed in the mission field for 1 week and come back and say to him, money finished. That's why we turned back. Hey, go. He might go for 3 days. But when they were going, he told them, don't even go with money at all. So that as you are going, you are learning that there is suffering in this thing. Of course, he later promised them that people will provide for them. But before those provisions began to come, they had to learn how to survive. You know, when I see the excuse some of us make these days for school visitation, it's terrible. So I couldn't go to school visitation. That place is far. And we did not have transport. It's far. How many of you know Nsukka very well? How many of you know Edem High School? Who knows Edem High School? How many of you know Igwe Ezia? Oziedem, right? How many of you know Edem community? I've trekked not once, not twice to these three schools with my legs. You say from where? From St. Cyprian's. Yes. Not once. If you know Edem community, this particular one I mentioned, you will cross seven rivers and seven mountains to get there. You know, the first day we went to that school, my God, how was it, my friend? I was just going, and the problem is we wanted to take back at first. But we asked somebody. The person said, it's not far. It's just there. And we kept going. And so the person said, okay, you're almost there. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I don't even know whether I preached after I got there. But we went again and again. You know that Igwe is here? That one is not too far now. Just Oziedem. Then Edem High School. Now, without complaint, what people in Shalom did not know was that half of the time we came to preach in Shalom, we trekked to those places and checked home. Some of the time we came for those night vigils. After the vigil, we trek back home. Without complaint. You must learn that where if you are going to be in the missions, you don't have any complaint. Because the man that sent you first told you not to carry anything, to go hungry first. That is to show you that he's not saying that it will not be all easy. That's why Paul will write in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4 verse 11, 12 and all of that. Look for that verse. Yeah, verse 12. Verse 12. Hallelujah. I know how to be abased and how to abandon. Give me NLT. Let's read together, everybody. Are you ready? Are we ready? Let's read. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything.
I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. You must master it if you're going to be a successful missionary. To young people particularly. Because young people don't give honorarium. You are the one that will give them honorarium for coming to their school. I mean, when you are done preaching, somebody will come and tell you, Auntie, you know, there's this mindset that once you are preaching, you have money. Let me tell you a story. I just tell you a story all the time. So I was very young. Then I just finished secondary school. I was preaching. I ministered the Holy Ghost in one meeting so powerfully. So people were lined up to see me. So this young lady came to see me. Not secondary school now. And I said, okay, yes, what is it? She told me she has. I have not eaten. I actually trekked to that place. I kid you not. She said that she has about 12 songs that she has written. And she wants to wax an album. And that she's been trusting God for the money. But it did not come. But like she had the lady to come and meet me to give her the money. Look, guess what I did? I told her, sing the song, let me hear. And she said, sing. I just want you. In my mind, this girl is very stupid. Of all the people, how can you not have lady to meet other? Why is it me God lady to come and meet? I said, sing. She forgot to sing. I just said, sing. Next. I have to listen to the song now before I. Next. But I say, next. He said, lift your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that there be provision for her. Get out. There's always this mindset that once you are preaching, you have money. So that's secondary school ministry for you. You go to preach there. When you are done, somebody, Auntie, good evening. Do you know, when they were eating during break, I did not have money to eat because they stole my 200 naira that my daddy gave me. You know what you're going to do? You're going to put it out of your pocket. And give your last 18 naira. Each of you have an insight. Check up. That's what the ministry demands. So all these excuses are not necessary. And we've seen that a lot. Sometimes you go to school, they beg you. They're not begging. Are they begging you? You're just seeing that there is a need to give them something. And so when I see all these complaints, there's evangelism. I couldn't come out, sir, because that school they told me to be going to visit is very far. Sir, it's very far. Sometimes after I go there, I will not even know what to preach again. It's the assignment. It's the demand. I've checked from St. Cyprian's to University Secondary School, yes, to go and preach. Say amen. Glory to God. And God is really faithful. And you go there, you preach. And I was talking about when I was at Model earlier in service this morning to preach, Model Secondary School. Well, that one is not far. But I trekked there and I checked home. That one is not far. I trekked to the place and I checked home. And I was on my suit. That's why when I said I was on my suit in the morning, I laughed. I was wearing a suit and turtleneck, white turtleneck. But that one is not. I trekked, you know, St. Cyprian's. I came from behind, just Tiburi made, and I got there. Glory to God. With all joy. With all joy. Because you cannot be a successful missionary if you've not mastered this thing we are sharing. How that you will not always do ministry in the best of conditions, but you have to do ministry anyway. You not always have everything you need where you want to come preach, but you must actually preach. No excuse is good enough. Are you following me? No excuse is good enough. I'm talking about financial issues now. But there is much more that you can encounter. So that's why Jesus, when he was telling them, he said, first of all, drop everything. Because, the first thing would have been, they thought after Jesus finished sending them, he will now say, okay, who did I send to a dame? They will stand up. He will count. This is your 100,000. Who did I send to Okuje? They will stand up. Oh yeah, 200,000. That one is far. Now, the man sent them and said, drop everything you have. Just go. Now, that's to rugged them from the onset. From the onset, tell them that this is going. Now, die.
And that's the mindset the mission man carries. Are you following me? And so the first thing he did was to prep them, to prepare them, to know that the road will not be easy. So drop your money. So he told them, even if you had money, drop it. If I said, if you have purse, drop the purse at home and go. That's how strong men are raised, actually. We make people weak when we send them and fill their pockets with money. Make them weak. As soon as I tell my pastor friends who have grown and are sending people and are giving them plenty of money, I say, who gave you when you wanted to start? Now, there should be support here and there and all of that. But to want to send someone and you stack the person up with money, say, you are giving you a house, I'm giving you a car, you'll be paid $1.5 million every month, there's instrument. You are not ready for missions. The person will get there, if there is no food to eat, he will come back. If the sun is too much, he will not come out. Up now. If the sun is too much, he won't go. If it is raining, he won't go. That's good station, sir, but I came out, it was raining. Oga, enter the rain. Put your head in that rain. We've done it not once, not twice. For the king and his kingdom. That's what I'm saying. That's the mindset that gets the job done. So the missionary and the mission. The missionary must know that the job must be done no matter what is happening, even if heavens are falling. And you will not always have the best. So Paul did not say he was broke all through. But he said he has learned how to do ministry, even if he's broke. Let's read it again, everybody. Let's read it again. Start from 11. Start from verse 11. Are you there now? Glory to God. Verse 11. Let's go together. Not that I was ever in need, for I've learned how to be content with whatever I have. Verse 12. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or with plenty or. So are there days you will have little? Yes. Are there days you will have plenty? Definitely. But what are you supposed to do? Whether it is plenty or little, you must be fine. Are you following me, friends? And the job, the work must be done. The work must be done. So when you now read verse 13, where Paul now said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The all thing he's talking about there is not that he can pass his exam, he can carry water on his head. The all thing he was talking about there had a context. The context is, I can survive when I have 10 naira, and I can survive when I have 1 million. I will preach when there is 1 naira. I will preach when there is 1 billion. That's the all things you should be able to do. So you should also say about yourself, this year, I can do all things. What are the all things? That when I have plenty, I will preach. When I have little, I will preach. Are you following what I'm talking about? When my pocket is empty, I will preach like I have everything. And you know why they always think that pastors, that preachers have money? Because they can't fathom how you can be broke and you are walking around preaching. That's the truth. And for him to be coming here, he has money now. If he doesn't have money, how will he come here? Sometimes we don't have, we just come. That's the mindset of a minister. That's the mindset of the missionary. And so he told them, Mark chapter 10, carry neither purse nor scrip, carry neither gold nor anything. Just go. But then, in the next verse, he now told them, any house you enter into, anything they give you, eat. What he was telling them is, I've also positioned people to meet your needs on the way. Are you following me, friends? I've also positioned, in other words, I'm not saying you will go hungry throughout, but it's good for you to know that you can go hungry, but that you will never be stranded. Are you following me, friends? At different points, God will come through. He will provide for you. It's good you know that. How many of you believe that? He will. But while we are putting our faith in His provision should not be the motivation for ministry. His provision should not be the motivation for missions.
that whether he provides or not, we must be on the go. Are you following what I'm saying now? Now, when he provides, we even do it much more. When there's no provision, we still go. We don't stop. Are you following me this evening? So that's what I want to show you. He said, don't carry a traveler's bag with a change of clothes or sandals or even a walking stick. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality. So he said, don't carry anything. Don't go with money. Don't go with stuff. That means be ready to suffer anything. However, if you find hospitality on the way, accept it. Because there are people that will actually show you favor. That's the job of a minister. You should know that, for instance, I stepped out on ministry without anything. But have I enjoyed favors from people? Yes. Did I need those favors from people to continue what I was doing? No. When the favors were not coming, was I doing what I was doing? Yes. Now that the favors are coming, am I doing what I'm doing? Yes. When the favors will come much more in the future, will I still be doing what I'm doing? Yes. That's what you do. So we send you to go and preach. Say your school is Queens. Don't ask me, how will I be going there every morning? Stand up and go. Say, but the moral is 7 o'clock, sir. And my house is far. Come out by 5:45. Trek. And listen to, let me teach you how to do it. Are you following? Trek. Trek. Don't trek with your, if you're a lady, don't trek with your shoe. Trek with slippers. Carry the shoe. When you get close to the school, remove it. Clean the shoe. Clean your leg. Wipe your sweat. And come in looking very prim and proper. And preach like there's no problem. When you leave the school like a man of God. Just walk with boldness. Then you leave the school gate, get to the side, remove your shoe, put all your slippers back, and move again. That's how to do it. I know the game. Sometimes we finish preaching in secondary schools and they're seeing us off. And we are saying, don't worry, go back. That go back is, go back, let me start going home. Because they don't see you saying, let's stop bike for you. Did I tell I'm entering bike? But I won't tell you. They just say, go back. Bro, uncle, let's take. Don't worry. Just go back. Go back. Please, now let's take. Come on, you go back. Go and face your studies. Take your book very seriously. And you just turn back. You just don't walk. Just with like man of God. Once you go very far, you open your bag, bring out your slippers, and start. You know, there is walking, there is trekking. When you are with them, walk. When they leave, start trekking. I know the game. Nothing should stop you. Don't come into the school sweating because you trekked. You get to the gate, wipe off everything. Look very prime. Apply powder again on your face. And come in like a man of God. Preach with every intensity. Preach like all is well with you because all is actually well with you. Are you following me? Even if you know you're going to trek home, preach. Now the point is you've trekked to the place. You're going to trek home. So why not make the most of the moment? Why will you waste your time? You've come. So preach the hell out of them. Preach with anger. So that they, because you have come and you know, if any time you remember how much you're going to trek back again, start preaching with much more intensity. Yes. If I remember I'm going to trek home, say, bring your head. Take it. That take it is both the anger that I trek to come and the anger that I'm trekking home. You must take it. But the job must be done. I get the point. And that's why, for real, because of the way we started ministry, it's not everything that people see as that discourage people that actually discourage me. There are people, for instance, now a digression, that cannot preach when there is no microphone. And it's really very funny to me. There are people that cannot minister the Holy Ghost if there is no keyboard. If I want all of you to fall down now, all of you will fall now without keyboard. Don't try me. Now, because I started in the most crude fashion. And that's what you are doing now, and you must do it. And the thing, once you've gone through it, ide body, it doesn't go. Whenever the need arises, you pull it out. I said, I'm preaching and light goes off. It's a big day for me. Can preach the hell out of them. I get the point. Yeah. You now have a car, but you have to go and preach somewhere, and your car is not starting that day. He said, I can't go today. How did you? Who is your pastor? Who mentored you? Me. You jump down and jump up on bike and start going to where you're going to. I get what I'm saying. Jump on top of bike and go where you're going to. So there's no bike. Trek. Run. You know, in church here,
Zoe 2022. Zoe is a big meeting, you know. You know, if you're a Platform of Grace member, Zoe is our biggest meeting of the year and all of that. And Zoe that year, that was the first year we even did billboards. There was billboards all over the place. You know, my face was all over the town. And I had a car then. It's not like I didn't have a car. But at that moment, I sold my car. That day. You know, I sold my car around that period. So I'd already arranged that a cab would come and pick me, you know, but the cab was not forthcoming. And it was time for me to preach. So when the people in church were still saying, "Daddy, please, we are working on it. I promise you, in the next 5 minutes," they saw me in church. I entered keke and arrived. Now, even with the one I came with keke, but I came with keke. You know how I did it? I didn't stop beside the compound. I stopped a bit far and now walked in. Now, I know the game very well. And I know if you enter keke, dots. So when I stopped, I just dusted my hair, Just use handkerchief for my face. I know the game. Just coming. I didn't feel bad at all. At least I can enter keke now. There were July conferences, as we call them then, that by 11 p.m. I see trekking from Tesipe to Shalom. With cooler food on your head, you are going. As some of you attended, you didn't know that's what was happening. You will never know. So that before the likes of Brian said, then will come and preach or coordinate school of ministry, they finish cutting firewood at home. I never cut firewood. They finish cutting firewood after everything. Sometimes they are preaching on stage and a text is coming in. Brian said, we can attack a wank. You just see it. That's what I was saying. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, that's your fault. And it is what it is. You must enjoy it. This season will pass. But the good thing is that if you really go through that season, even after it passes, the training stays with you. So anytime the need arises, you can still pull it out and use it. I can preach anyway. Like I go to secondary school and they say there is no mic. And I say, oh, we can't preach. You can't do what? I will preach on top of my... I've preached to a school of over 3,000 people with my voice. I minister the Holy Ghost to them. If you know how I do what I just said now is, praise the Lord! And the bad luck we had that day was that my message was powerful. So when I say let us pray, they were praying about the first time. I could no longer stop them. I'm serious. I was like, hey, Jesus, and they were just praying. Shaka-ka-ka. I said, okay. So luck was I came with some people. So I told them, we can't stop them, so let's get into the crowd and start laying hands. That's how the meeting ended. Like, we couldn't stop them. So we just went to the crowd, laying hands. When we were done laying hands, they were still praying, we left. Like, we couldn't stop, because they need to hear you. We were even hitting bell. These were praying. I'm not joking. I just said, lay hands. After the lay hands, we went home. So I know that part. So that's why I just told them, to start your mission, go without pause. So this is a good thing that you don't have money sometimes to go for ministry, but you go all the same. Now, if you do not have money to go and you do not go, hear me, you missed your training right there. I'll say that again. If you do not have money, things are not fine, and that's why you didn't go for what you meant to go to, you missed your, that was an opportunity to get trained. That's an opportunity for God to teach you something, but you missed it. Today I can tell you this story because I didn't miss those opportunities. So, step out. Missionary must know. Of course, at the end of the day, God is going to provide. I tell you. There will be supplies here and there. But whether it comes or it doesn't come, be on the go. Are you getting me? Are you following me? Be on the go. Preach the word. Under the rain, under the sun, season out of season, you are a sent man. God has sent you. Go with that mindset. There's a lot to say, but I'll pick up from here tomorrow. Why are you blessed today? It's exactly 7 p.m., so I wanted to end by 7 o'clock. Why are you blessed today? So you go. Preach the word. God has sent you. So again, if you're not ready to go to the field this year, then go home. The ministry that God is asking us to raise, The problem that Shepherd's Foundation had some years ago is that it had big boys. We don't want big boys in this ministry again. Big boys who just sit down, do nothing, and then every January they sit down and they are scrutinizing reports that people presented, reports of people that went to preach. You are scrutinizing their reports. I do not go and preach. He said, you should have gone down it this way. When you went, no, that's not going to happen again. Are you following me? You either go to the field or you go home. Say amen. All of us will be in secondary schools. Make up your mind. Because we are going to give you a school or two schools. Make up your mind that this school will catch the fire of the gospel. Make up your mind that in this school I'm being sent to at least 100 people on fire for God. Are you following what I'm saying? You know, there are certain things that the Lord asks me to do now. And people around me wonder, how are you going to do these things? You know why it's not hard for me? I've done worse things. Some of you in church know, every week I go to 3 different universities in this town. That's apart from my church work and office work. I go there to mentor people. Every week, I hold services for 3 universities in this town. Every week. So why are you getting straight? Is it today? There was a time, unofficially, I was going to St. Stephen Chapel to talk to people every day. Seize the opportunity. We send you to a school. Tomorrow I will say a few things about how to handle a school fellowship and all of that. I will say a few things around that. We send you to a school. You must always be available in the school. No excuse. Always. Always around. Money or no money, you appear. Rain or no rain, you are there. Let it be that you came and nobody came. But at least you are there. Are you following what I'm saying? Make up your mind. God is giving you an assignment and we will get the job done. Hallelujah. God is sending us. He's sending us. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.